Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole. Dead air moments. Paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean? He's fat! I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
Who am I supposed to vote for? Am I supposed to vote for the Democrat who's going to blast me in the ass, or the Republican who's blasting my ass?
Politics is just all one big ass blast.
You're going to get your ass blasted.
Nationwide ass blast.
You know what?
You sound like a gay.
We're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do.
All right, Chris Block here again on the blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanian for, ironically, The Third Manian Radio here on this, what's today, superstar?
I don't know, Wednesday.
Sounds good to me. Wednesday, May the 12th, 2010. It is 6:02 here in Chicago. It's dreary outside. It's been pretty ugly for the past few days, but it's brilliant on the inside, and the Blackhawks are in the Western Conference Finals, superstar.
They are.
As you, you know, were so gracious enough to remind me yesterday, you so far have picked the Blackhawks perfectly.
I have, both rounds and in the number of games, which doesn't bode well for us in this year's series. I have them losing. Different team, but nevertheless, I have them losing.
Yes, of course, you're a Stanley Cup champion, you know, lost to the San Jose Sharks, but, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe this is where, you know, the balance, it balances out and you get back to being just average in your predictions.
You know what, if that means the Hawks go to the Stanley Cup Finals, I would be more than happy to be average.
You know, before we get into it, now I thought about this a lot today, and again, you know, this is Chris Block, and alongside my co-host, the Superstar. How you doing today, Superstar?
I am well. A little early for us tonight.
It is, and I should say why. For the 6 or 7 people that listen to us live these days, this is an available time for me. It's an available time for Superstar, and I have to get going to hockey here. Not too much after 7 o'clock, so we won't be going long tonight. But that's the reason for us going early, and for everybody else that listens on the archives or however they listen, inconsequential. But I was thinking about this
a lot today.
Yeah, thinking about this a lot today. I was wondering, now, of course, Game 7 tonight, going on puck dropping and just a few minutes here live, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Montreal Canadiens. Game 7, Montreal, of course, knocked off the President's Trophy winning Washington Capitals,
your Stanley Cup champion.
What's that?
Your Stanley Cup champion.
Yes, yes. Although we don't need to go back over that. we don't need to revisit that. You know, they went in, they did the improbable. They pushed the seventh game, got it to the Washington Capitals Verizon Center. And then whooped their ass in Game 7, right?
Correct.
Okay, so now here we are again. The Penguins had a chance to close her out. The Canadiens on their home ice push a game seven tonight at the Igloo. If the Penguins lose, it's the last game ever at the Igloo as they're moving into their new arena in the fall. But I thought about this a lot today. Now, Blackhawks fans will take special interest in this game because, in my opinion, okay, in my opinion anyway, and I don't know, since my Stanley Cup champion lost in the first round, I don't know what that means, how much stock you can put into it. But, yes, I did think that the Capitals were going to have a lot of trouble, were going to struggle in the first round, but that, you know, those situations and all that, blah, 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 would kind of unite them together. And as they went along, they were just so talented, and you thought that they would score enough, and their goaltending was, you know, like the Blackhawks, it's average. It's not above average. You know, maybe a little bit above average, but it's just average. I mean, if you want to argue with me that Antti Niemi has been stellar in the playoffs, you're going to lose that argument. He's been above average. He's been good enough, and that's all the Blackhawks need him to be. So he's fine. But that's what the Capitals had in their goal as well. The Capitals just didn't score. They didn't score on the power play. They were shooting from everywhere, but they had no clue. All right. But I thought that would happen. Of course, they get knocked out. Now, the next team, if you're looking long-term, and you shouldn't look past the San Jose Sharks, but given that the Blackhawks are idle tonight, we don't know when the Sharks and the Blackhawks will kick off the next round, because the Western Conference finals can't start until the Eastern Conference semis are done. So everything hinges, whether the Blackhawks start Friday night or Sunday, everything hinges on whether or not the Flyers can push a game seven tonight. The Flyers push a game seven, Blackhawks start on NBC on Sunday afternoon. If Boston wraps it up tonight, it's very likely that, and it's almost a guarantee, that the Blackhawks open up in San Jose on Friday night. Now, this is my thought. Blackhawks fans are sitting around doing nothing today. Of the teams left in the East, who scares you the most?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, so if Montreal can defeat Pittsburgh tonight, you would think that the road to the Blackhawks' first Stanley Cup in nearly 50 years is paved, right?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, this is my thought, all right? And I think there's two schools of thought on this. Number one, ever since John McDonough has become president of the Blackhawks and Rocky Wirtz has taken over, you know, and basically, you know, stole the team from his younger brother, and took it over and done terrific things with it ever since. Everything, with the exception of just not having enough experience or the composure to beat, upset, maybe you should say, the Detroit Red Wings in the last year's conference finals. Other than that, everything has come so easily to this team. I mean, everything has fallen into place. Every possible thing that could go right for them has gone right. Everything that they've done wrong, you know, the mishandling of the Dennis Savard situation, allowing a guy that John McDonough wanted to get rid of and Dale Talon run his free agency, run his draft, and then firing him, you know, for some bogus reason that Dale Talon ended up being the fall guy for. Everything along the way that they should have paid for, you know, hockey karma, you know, as I like to say. Everything they should have paid for, they haven't. Everything is just falling right into place. So it would, if you like look at it from that perspective, Montreal wins tonight and the Blackhawks end up playing Montreal, Philadelphia, or Boston in the Stanley Cup finals. And outside of if Montreal is going to knock off the Washington Capitals, which is a feat. You know, they were the best team in the NHL statistically by a mile during the regular season. That means something. That means something.
It does.
And then if you knock off potentially tonight, by the time most people are going to listen to this, will know the result. But potentially knock off the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. You can't overlook the Canadiens. You just can't. But you would still say that the Blackhawks have the advantage in every one of those series. That you would think, I mean, as long as they take the ice and they don't you know, combust like the Vancouver Canucks just did. That the East, the Blackhawks can take care of, and the San Jose Sharks, the Blackhawks have had success against this year. So you would just think that if the Canadiens can knock out the Penguins tonight, that the Blackhawks are set. The stage is set for them to bring the cup home, right?
You would think so.
Or is it possible that if all those things that I just say happened, and the Blackhawks do, like, let's just say, first of all, let's say they advance past the San Jose Sharks. Do they, I mean, it's almost like a situation where everybody just expects, like, you know, like we've said many times and mentioned many times, like the Blackhawks fans feel like they're entitled to a Stanley Cup. Like they're entitled to something great because nothing, you know, 75%, 85% of the fans that are on board now have, you know, have jumped on since Bill Wirtz passed away, and all they know is, you know, the Blackhawks are good. That's all they know. You know, recent history, everything, you know, in the past, either they weren't on board or they've totally forgotten. This is all that matters to them now, and nothing has gone wrong. So they just feel like it's the destiny to win the championship. Does everybody start thinking that? And then all of a sudden the Blackhawks either get, I mean, dismantled by the San Jose Sharks or go and get upset by a Cinderella Boston Bruins or Philadelphia Flyers or Montreal Canadiens. I thought about that a lot today because, you know, I mean, to me, things just seem so perfect that, you know, and this is the Chicagoan mentality, Chicago sportsman mentality that I've written about before, but something has to go wrong now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you bring up a good point about the fans and feeling entitled to win, you know, that we deserve or we have the right to the Stanley Cup, and that is not the case at all. And I don't want to break my train of thought because, you know, I don't keep it very often, but in case you don't have it on blog, Montreal Canadiens just took a 1-0 lead 32 seconds into the game.
I don't have it on because I was trying to concentrate here.
Ah. Well, you know, Crosby took an early penalty, and 32 seconds in, and Montreal's still on the power play.
Anything else interesting going on that game right now while I finish my pregame lean pocket?
No. Crosby took a bad boarding penalty about 15 seconds in, and the rookie defenseman from Montreal,
PK Subban.
What's that?
PK Subban.
Yep. Took a bad backhand from a pretty bad angle by Fleury, while the Penguins were under a delayed penalty again. So 1-0 Montreal. Minute and a half to go in the game, and we have a Montreal power play still on board, so not the start that Pittsburgh was looking for, but for as Block mentioned, for all you Hawks fans, that's a pretty good start for you.
So, what the hell happened? Okay, Brooks Orpik for boarding. So, two boarding calls in the first 32 seconds on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Crosby, then Orpik. So, it was a 5-on-3 then.
No, it was a delayed call. They scored
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, there was the penalty, bad penalty on Orpik. But Crosby's already in the box.
You didn't think it was the right call or bad penalty in that he was very stupid.
He was very stupid.
Okay.
Good call, bad play. Stupid. You go to the box, you feel shame. And Black, while we're on the
what
subject,
what is slashing?
Slashing is like death. You know?
Mm-hmm. And there's a penalty for that.
Yeah, and for a trip also, you know,
oh.
Like that, and
mm-hmm.
for hook like this, and for spear, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get free.
See, that's what I like about this show. When I'm trying to finish my pregame meal, my lean pocket, my chicken parmesan lean pocket, and it's my turn to speak, I can go right to the drop board.
You can. Well, you can do anything you want. It's your show.
It is. I got some new songs I can play tonight. I mean, I'll play them a little bit later. I'm done with my food now. We can resume the show now. You had a thought, Superstar?
No, I'm putting a vote in for the Oregon, being that it's playoff time.
The Oregon?
Big fan of the Oregon. You know, I was thinking about this the other day when the Hawks were here for Game 5 and the anthem was going on. And I know you remember this, and for you older, lucky younger people that used to go to playoff games at the Chicago Stadium would remember. Block, what would the United Center security do if we just had a section of people light up sparklers?
A section of people?
Well, you know, back in the old building, you know, you'd have 20 people that would light up, you know, sparklers for the anthem. Can you imagine doing that now in today's day and age?
There are guys that do it. I mean, it's like, I haven't seen what security has done. Maybe if anybody, probably a few sections over from me, not every game, but I think every other game almost during the playoffs, guys, has had sparklers, probably like, I don't know where the guy sits, but he probably stands 8 or 9 rows up in the 300 level, and he twirls his sparklers or whatever. He was there for Game 1 of the Vancouver series. Game 3, I wasn't at, and I didn't see him Game 5. So I know that guy or somebody has been doing that pretty much all playoff, you know, here and there. But I don't know what if a whole section, they wouldn't do anything. So that's what you got to do. If you're going to misbehave at a sporting event, you have to get, like, the whole section involved. Because security can't throw out a section.
Yeah, power in numbers.
Yeah, power in numbers, people. If you're going to be stupid, sit with a whole bunch of stupid people.
That's why I sit next to you.
All right, so last night the Blackhawks put away the Vancouver Canucks 5-1 at General Motors Place. Game that started out, first period that was just fantastic, back and forth hockey. Roberto Luongo amazing again in the first period, stopping 12 shots. Antti Niemi stopping 13 himself in the first. But quickly things broke down for Luongo and his brethren. Troy Brouwer off an excellent feed from Patrick Sharp. Troy Brouwer back in the lineup after sitting out Game 5 and getting back in there. Nice tip. Nothing Luongo could do about that goal. However, 36 seconds later, Chris Versteeg on a turnover gets the puck, takes it in, and hesitates just a moment and beats Roberto Luongo far side, far stick side, a goal that Luongo should have had. And then at the end of the second period, with the Hawks still leading 2-0, Dave Boland taking the puck from Pavel Dimitra, who was dealing with a bouncing puck at the blue line. Yet again, another reason. This is one of my biggest pet peeves in the NHL, and specifically about the way Joe Quenneville runs his power play. Another evidence of another reason. The same reason, but over and over again. Another instance in which a forward on the point on the power play just does not work. Pavel Dimitra, not used to playing those kind of pucks, having that kind of pressure on him at the blue line, doesn't know how to deal with the bouncing puck. Dave Boland sort of wrestles it from him. And Boland, you got to give Boland a lot of credit. He's not the fleetest of foot, but he kept himself in front of both Ehrhoff and Dimitra. And dribbles one through Luongo's legs that should have never gone in. And from that point, the game was pretty much over. 3-0 Blackhawks, 45 seconds left in the second period. Short-handed goal by Dave Boland, his third of the playoff. A little bit of life from Vancouver in the third period as Shane O'Brien put the Canucks on the board. But 5 minutes later, thereabouts, Patrick Kane finished him off 4-1. That game was basically over at that point. Dustin Byfuglien, 30 seconds later, puts in another one that Luongo should have had. Three bad goals on the night from Luongo's perspective. But, again, the Blackhawks' best players were better than Vancouver's best players. Injuries depleted and really killed the Vancouver defense. Sammy Salow played his heart out last night, but he's playing on one leg, let's just say. And his bruised or fractured nut.
Ruptured.
And, yeah, ruptured or fractured or bruised, whatever you want to call it. He had a bad nut, and he was skating around on it and in obvious pain. Should have talked to Chris Chelios' doctor. Maybe he would have taken care of that for him. And they lose Alex Edler in the first period, and from that point on, they're basically playing with four and a half defensemen. Andrew Albert, though, deserves a lot of credit for the way he played last night. I thought it was his best game of the series, but Andrew Albert's not going to be the difference between a win and a loss against the Blackhawks. And, hey, you know, Luongo can't stop pucks that he's supposed to stop, and the Sedins aren't going to show up in a series. This is what happens to you. You know, the Sedins, Burrows, Kessler didn't really get on the board much in this series. Their best players let them down, and for the most part, the Blackhawks' best players came to play. Kane was kind of not really existent offensively in the series. A lot of missed chances, a lot of great opportunities that he had to score that he'd shank wide. He had a horrible game five, Patrick Kane. But he scored the big goal when it counted, a lot more than you can say for Marian Hossa, and who is still MIA in the playoffs. And, you know, Byfuglien, again, if he plays in Vancouver, he's pretty damn good. Everywhere else, you don't have much use for Dustin Byfuglien. So, I don't know, your impressions of last night's game and the Blackhawks closing out their biggest rival anyway nowadays, the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, Block, before I get to that, you brought up a lot of the Vancouver Canucks, and the one guy I was very impressed with that I did not know a lot about coming into the series was Kyle Wellwood.
I'm glad you said that. I wanted to bring that up.
He really, really impressed me more and more throughout the series, and I thought he had a hell of a game, you know, last night. And, you know, he you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of a smart Chris Versteeg. What I want Chris Versteeg to be, Kyle Wellwood.
Well, I do want to say, you know, and I know that Kyle Wellwood, people like to have fun with Kyle Wellwood on the internet and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, but he was one of, if not the most consistent, and I'd probably just go ahead and just say, I mean, he was the most consistent Vancouver forward. I will say this, last night, if you go back and just single out and, you know, just omit everything else but Vancouver in the Blackhawks zone, and a lot of credit goes to the Blackhawks D, because the Blackhawks D puts more pressure from their position on forwards, you know, trying to make something happen in the offensive zone than almost any other team in the league. I thought Duncan Keith had his best game of the series last night. Brent Seabrook was on top of it again. Brent Sopel was great last night, as was Nicholas Halmerson. And Brian Campbell was good as well. But those five are the ones that you know, Jordan Hendry played but about 10 minutes last night. Duncan Keith took a bunch of his shifts away, and Keith and Sopel played a lot together last night. But if you go back and watch that game last night, Vancouver just didn't know what to do in the Hawks zone when they got the puck. Their backs were constantly to Niemi. You can't score if your back is to the goaltender. Backs to the center of the ice, you know, backhanding passes, you know, through the middle, through Blackhawk defenders. It was really a pitiful performance. And Kyle Wellwood was one of those guys. He would get the puck and he'd turn, he'd sort of blind pass. I didn't really like his game so much last night, except for what he showed the rest of the series, his hustle. The fact that he was finishing, little Kyle Wellwood skating around, finishing all of his checks, relentless all series long, a lot tougher than anybody will ever give him credit for. Kyle Wellwood had a great series, and he's a really good guy, and you know, takes a lot of abuse, but just, you know, last two seasons in Vancouver's had really good seasons for him, and I thought of everybody had probably the best series on his team.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and I thought he played well.
He is unrestricted free agent. $1.2 million this year, so he's a UFA. He's one of those guys, this is why I wanted to bring up, he's one of those guys that I think there's going to be a lot of turnover on the Hawks roster this summer. No matter what anyone's going to try to convince you, there's going to be a lot of turnover. And, I mean, he's a guy that if you can get him at a decent clip, like not much over 1.2, he's going to get a little bit of a raise. Someone will probably swoop in and give him a lot more than he deserves, maybe like a team like Tampa. I could see that. But if you could get him at a decent clip, I wouldn't mind Kyle Wellwood coming in and being the replacement for someone like a Versteeg. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised. But, that's a good call by you.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at last night, I thought it's pretty easy comment to make. I think that the Hawks played by far their best game of the series and maybe of the playoffs.
I was most impressed by this team in last night's game because it wasn't done by – I mean, they got to Luongo just because they got to Luongo. I mean, they put enough shots on, and they beat him a couple of times on shots, like we said, that he should have saved – and he did have a collapse, but it was a collapse because the Blackhawks beat him and beat the Vancouver Canucks at hockey. They took advantage of the fact that they totally confused and shut down Vancouver's offensive players defensively. And that goes, I mean, it starts really on the blue line. You know, the Dave Bolin line played very well post-game two. Maybe to the latter half of game two on. The Dave Bolin line played very, very well in the series. You got to give Dave Bolin credit for, and I have to because I've written a lot of bad things about the guy, about his play anyway. And he did. He played terrific. The goal, even though it should have never gone in, from a Vancouver perspective, huge. I mean, just totally killed any chance of Vancouver coming back and winning that game. Vancouver scoring three goals in a period on the Blackhawks isn't going to happen very often, especially if the Blackhawks are holding a lead. I want to bring this up, though, and going forward, and we'll continue to talk about the series in a minute, but going forward, one of the things that bothered me about the Blackhawks and their, you know, we talked about, like, you know, and I had this conversation with someone at the United Center at Game 5, and the Blackhawks, again, come out and are outworked, and they don't get the lead early, and Vancouver gets the momentum. They get up, and the Blackhawks are totally out of the game. And that's something that needs to be addressed, especially going into the Western Conference Finals. It's no longer the Vancouver Canucks who you're kind of in the heads of, and you know how to get to them. And they self-destruct, and the Sedins, I think it's obvious now. There's kind of a mess in Vancouver. I mean, it's kind of they're at a point now, a crossroads where they're stuck with the Sedins now. But it's obvious that the Sedins aren't two guys that are going to carry them to a cup. And what are they going to do? I still think Luongo is capable of being a big game goaltender. He's shown it, but he needs a better defense in front of him, more reliable defense. I love Kevin Bieksa, but Kevin Bieksa, I don't know what he was thinking, turning towards the boards when Patrick Kane took that puck right between him and Sammy Salo last night. That was awful. Patrick Kane, you know, it should have never been basically all, you know, unabated to the net the way it was. Bieksa turned the wrong way, and there you go, 4-1. But, I mean, they're at a point now where what do you do? You know, the Sedins can't be counted on, and how much more can you really do? Alex Burrows has a great year, career year, but does nothing in the playoffs. Besides, you know, take dumb penalties that end up costing you games. Samuelson was good. I mean, Samuelson, I can't fault him. Samuelson's not a guy that's going to put a team on his back. Kessler, I'd still take Ryan Kessler every day over Dave Boland. Dave Boland is you know, in his role now. He's a third-line player, and Kessler was just, I mean, he was with Alex Burrows a lot in this series, and Mason Raymond, you know, if Ryan Kessler as a second-line center, which he is on the Vancouver Canucks, has Marian Hossa and Patrick Sharp on his wing, or Marian Hossa and Troy Brower on a wing, or Andrew Ladd, I think Ryan Kessler is getting the job done a lot more than he is on the Vancouver team. So I still take Ryan Kessler every day over Dave Boland, but they got a lot of problems. But the point I want to make going forward, the Blackhawks made a point, and if you go through and you look at their quotes before every game, what do the Blackhawks always talk about? They talk about getting out to leads, okay? And of course, that should be your objective. You know, you don't want to start a game down 1-0 or 2-0. I mean, no team wants to do that. But from my perspective, and watching the team and watching the results, if the Blackhawks don't get out to a lead, they're done. I mean, like, they had to come back against Nashville, and that was fine. That was great. But that was the Nashville Predators. It wasn't the San Jose Sharks. And I mean, from my perspective, game one, Vancouver comes out, gets the big lead, and you saw the Blackhawks, I mean, totally break down. Looked like they were playing an exhibition game out there with fumbling the puck, errant passes this way and that, guys breaking the system. Essentially the same thing happened in game five. Vancouver gets up, the Blackhawks, you know, they don't know what to do. They lose their confidence. They don't know what to do. Now, when they get up on the Vancouver Canucks, game over. From my perspective, if this is going to continue, if the Blackhawks have to get out to leads in every game to win games, they're not going to win the Stanley Cup. It's just not going to happen. I mean, we see what Montreal is doing. I mean, it's pretty amazing what the Canadiens are doing. And the San Jose Sharks are a lot better team. You know, Pittsburgh, a great team, defending Stanley Cup champions. The Philadelphia Flyers are a pesky team. I don't think the Boston Bruins are really, you know, you can get out of the leads against the Bruins. You might win the game 1-0 or 2-1, but I mean, to me, from my perspective, that's like a question that needs to be asked of this team. If they don't get out to a lead, can they win games? Because they certainly didn't show it in the Vancouver series, against better competition than the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I mean, there was a definite theme in both games, 1 and 5, and it was once Vancouver had the lead, they looked confused, they didn't know what to do, and after a while, you know, that lead gets up to 2 and then 3, and all of a sudden they totally seem not only confused and with no confidence, they seem disinterested.
It's about momentum. It's about, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I wish someone that follows the team would ask that question of Joe Quenneville, why his team can't or doesn't fare very well when they don't score the first goal. Because I mean, that's an interesting question to ask. And as a coach, you know, he's a big part of that. Like, how do you get that lead back? You know, how do you operate when, you know, you get down? Because they're going to have to, in order to win the Stanley Cup, they're going to have to win 2 or 3 more games when coming from behind. You know, I don't think this team has faced or overcome adversity nearly enough in the last 3 months to prove to me that they're going to be able to do it. You know, I still say, you know, I'm sticking with my prediction that they're going to take San Jose in this series in 6 games. It's what I said before the playoffs started. I'm sticking with it. But, you know, and we're going to do, I should mention this, we're going to be back either tomorrow or Friday with a excruciatingly in-depth preview of the Blackhawks and the San Jose Sharks series. Now, again, like we mentioned, it's either going to start Friday or Sunday. Odds are that we're going to do a preview show tomorrow night, but that'll be decided later on tonight, and I'll have that up on the site by tomorrow morning. But we're going to do a whole preview of that series in the next day or so here at blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin, and it should be great. Before we go forward, I'd like to mention our sponsors, Superstar. Chicago's Pizza and Pasta at chicagos-pizza.com. Check it out. If I had it in front of me, I could tell you all about it. But the food is great. There's 5 locations in the Chicagoland area. If you dine in, it's BYOB. If you dine out, you can order till 5 in the morning, which is just, it's great for people like me. And sometimes Superstar.
Every once in a while.
If you happen to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning for some reason, you can always count on Chicago's Pizza and Pasta. Chicago's-pizza.com. Check it out. And the NIHL, Northern Illinois Inline Hockey League, with leagues starting up on June 3rd. That's in just a few weeks. Check it out at NIHLinlinehockey.com. It's out there in West Dundee at the Leafs Ice Center. They got 3 sheets of ice. One of them turns into inline in just a couple of weeks. Check it out, NIHLinlinehockey.com. Great rates. I skated on it once last year. It's a terrific surface for inline hockey. And fast, and the puck sits real well. So head on out there and check them out. Like I said, great rates, and got leagues starting up on June 3rd. All right.
And while we got a minute block, Montreal just made 2-0 Dominic Moore in one that Fleury would definitely want to have back. 2-0 Montreal with just a little over 5 minutes ago in the first. And, of course, after that goal, they panned the Igloo crowd, and they seem very Vancouver-esque right now.
So Gianta got the first one, and Dominic Moore gets the second. Wow. Not good.
No, not good. Not good at all if you're a Pittsburgh Penguin fan.
All right. Wow.
You know, speaking of the playoffs, and while we're, you know, obviously very playoff intensive in that hockey as a whole as far as free agency, you get to hear a lot more of Doc Emrick during the playoffs. Do you like Doc Emrick as a play-by-play guy?
Much like Pat Foley, he used to be terrific. I mean, he used to be great. I mean, absolutely great, but as he's gone along, I wouldn't call it boredom, but he's becoming a caricature of himself, you know, with, his patented call that sort of separates him from everybody else, his shtick, so to speak, is, where he does that call about off the post and that, and he's a little bit over the top with that. He waits for it, and, that's his signature call, and guys get old, guys, he used to be great. I don't think he's great anymore. I think there's very few great guys doing hockey right now. Jim Houston's really, really good, but I've heard a lot of people complaining about Jim Houston. Specifically, Jim Houston does the CBC Hockey Night in Canada. He used to be the Vancouver Canucks announcer, at least Rogers West. He did a lot of Canucks games on Rogers West. And I know that everybody besides Vancouver fans were complaining about Jim Houston in the Blackhawks Canucks series. But I wonder if they would have been complaining. It's like one of the things. I wonder if they would have been complaining had they no knowledge of him being previously employed by Rogers West and doing Canucks games. But I don't know. Why, you don't like Mike Emrick?
No, I like Mike Emrick a lot. And I know it is very, for people in the Chicago area, very Hawk Harrelson, very character, you know, his thing. But I do love him. I do miss Gary Thorne greatly, though, especially in the playoffs. I do think Doc Emmerich, I guess he just reminds me of playoff hockey. I think he makes the game more exciting.
Well, if the NHL goes back to ESPN in the summer, then you'll get your Gary Thorne back.
I would love my Gary Thorne.
I think it would be for everything that there is to be said about Versus. I think going back to ESPN would be an awful move for the NHL. It is an awful move, unless ESPN wants to start up an ESPN3. And it's automatically on every, you know, network or every carrier and provider that carries ESPN and ESPN2, and dedicate a network to hockey and another sport. I just think it would be a stupid move, just a stupid move.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're on the ESPN family, obviously you're competing very heavily against college basketball for the majority of the year. You're competing against Monday Night Football, Thursday Night College Football, you know, college football all day on Saturdays.
The argument to be made there, and it's a good, you know, it's valid. I mean, the point's valid, but the fact of the matter is, hockey fans watch hockey. Nobody else watches hockey. So, I mean, at a certain point, you got to give up this idea that, you know, I mean, let's just look at the Olympics, the gold medal in the Olympic game on NBC for an example. Gold medal Olympic game does a 15.5 rating. Okay, so all these non-hockey fans are watching a hockey game. The following Sunday, the Red Wings and the Blackhawks face off. They do a 1.0 rating. Hockey fans watch hockey. Sports fans watch other sports, unless there's nothing else on, and it's country versus country, and it's the Olympics, the final day of the Olympics. Hockey fans watch hockey. Cater to your hockey fans and find different avenues to promote your product. The internet is the main one. I mean, if you can gain fans by trolling on the internet, so to speak, that's a start. You don't ever want to go to a network like ESPN until you're in some sort of a position of bargaining power. You say competing. It's like, no, you're not competing. The NHL is not competing with the NCAA basketball or football. It's not competing with the NBA or baseball. It's not competing with those. They don't compete with those sports. They play second fiddle to those sports. You'd rather be on a network. You know, and we don't have time to go through this. I want to get to emails, and I got to get out of here. But Versus at least needs to buy in and be more, especially since it's Comcast owned, which means it's now NBC affiliated. If those two networks are related, NBC is taking over Versus. So gradually here, we should see improvements in the Versus. Programming and the packaging. But you want to be a focal point of a network. You want to be the flagship programming, so to speak, and have all of the efforts of this network put into you, put you on a pedestal, show you off like you're something important. And just being on an ESPN doesn't mean anything. Okay, you're on ESPN. It's a little easier for me to find you. But hockey fans know where Versus is. You know, I'm sick and tired of that argument. If you're a hockey fan, you should know where Versus is. You know, in Chicago, the Blackhawks were on Versus 6-7 times this year. So you're telling me that each time they were on Versus, Blackhawks fans just decided not to watch the game? Bullshit. Hockey fans should know where Versus is. And if they don't know where Versus is, they're not a hockey fan. And that's the NHL or the Blackhawks' fault that they don't know where Versus is. Now, if you don't have it, if you have, you know, you know, If you don't have it, well, then I hope you're a drinker or at least someone who could sit in the bar for 3 hours, because from this point forward, you're not going to see very many Hawks games. But most people have it. You know, I think the Versus is in 79 million homes now. So it's basically there's 15 million people in America that don't have Versus. It's not that many. And most of those people are, I mean, it's little tiny pockets in Chicago and, you know, places out in the boondocks that don't have very much to choose from. That's where it is. All right, but we got to get to the mailbag here, Superstar. Anything else you want to add to the Vancouver Canucks elimination?
No. They're gone. Who cares? Screw them.
I do want to bring this up. After the game last night, Roberto Luongo held court. And two things need to happen in the offseason for the Vancouver Canucks besides anything else. I can't fault Alain Vigneault too much for what went wrong, because the fact of the matter is his best players didn't put enough on the board. Okay, so, I mean, if your best players, they're your best players all year long, don't show up in the playoffs, or don't contribute in the playoffs, I mean, what's a coach to do? I mean, you could change the coach. I mean, maybe it is time to change the culture in Vancouver, since you can't do anything about the Sedins. I mean, it'd be too hard to trade both of them. And then what are you going to get back in return? And you know, there's a lot of pressure on Vancouver. You know, it's a lot like Toronto, only Vancouver fans are used to being in the playoffs. They're used to competing, you know, at least competing to get to a conference final. At least if things appear as though they're good enough. You know, so there's a lot of pressure on them to advance, to get another round. All those guys out there, Luongo, most definitely. But, I mean, if you want to change the coach, fine. I don't think you can blame Alain Vigneault for that series. I mean, how do you lose three games on your own home ice? And the reason why you lost them in two of the games, well, the last game is just because Luongo was bad and your best players, you know, just got outplayed by the Blackhawks' best players. And the other two games, because the Blackhawks were running the goaltender, getting under the skin of the Canucks, and the Canucks lost their composure. You know, and they admitted it as such, as they talked about it all year long, and they talked about it before those games. So you can't blame the coach that his team lost composure when he talked about it over and over and over with his team, and they still went out and lost their composure. That's on the players. I mean, you got to blame players at some point. I mean, the players have to be held accountable. So, you know, but Roberto Luongo after the game last night, you know, and they're asking him all these questions, I wanted Roberto Luongo. And so, you know, I haven't defended Luongo as much as I said, like, listen, I mean, the guy's a great goaltender. It's obvious, you know, he has the ability to be a one-man show. Did it a few times in this series. But, I mean, after that game last night, I wanted Roberto Luongo to stand up and say, you know what, I let goals in tonight that I shouldn't have, and he didn't do it. Not anywhere where I saw. I saw his post-game interview, and he kept shrugging his shoulders and saying, I don't know, you know. I mean, I don't have any answers. It doesn't make any sense. How do you lose, you know, three games on your home ice? You know, and he talked about, you know, I mean, at one point he even said, he commented about how many turnovers he faced last night. Like, all these goals were turnovers. Like, well, Roberto, I mean, if you're gonna win a Stanley Cup, maybe he doesn't want to be known as the best goaltender or one of in the world, but that's what people often refer to him as. You've got to make some of those stops. The Boland stop was not a difficult stop. The Versteeg one was one that he should have had. He came out too far. It was a bad angle, and he went, you know, he didn't wait Versteeg out, and Versteeg beat him. Nice play by Versteeg, but it should have been saved. The Bufflin goal, horrible goal. I mean, it's still, if he makes those three saves, the Blackhawks still win 2-1, you know, just the way it shook out. But if he makes the Boland save and the Versteeg save, it's 1-0 going into the third period. It's a much different game than 3-0 going into the third period. And who knows what happens at that point. You know, so I wanted Luongo to stand up and, you know, just be like, hey, I didn't do my part tonight either, and he didn't say it. And for that, just for that reason alone, he needs to have that captaincy taken off of him. You know, I mean, I never liked the fact that he was captain, but I don't think it makes that big of a deal as long as someone on the bench acts like a captain there too, you know. But obviously not. So they need to take that captaincy off of him.
I agree. Hey, you mentioned it last week or last show. It's really hard when you're a goalie to kind of, I don't want to be cliche and say rally the troops, but, you know, kind of stand up and say, what are you doing? You know, this is not the way to do it. When you're not on the bench, you're not taking shifts, you know, leading by example when you're, it's a totally different situation when it's the goalie. And I agree that it needs to be removed immediately.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I was just so disappointed in him and his, you know, his post-game comments last night. You know, I mean, last year he was in tears, and maybe he was just so concentrating on not crying that, you know, he was just trying to get out of there. I don't know, but even so, a bigger man would have stood there and said, you know what, I let in goals tonight that I shouldn't have, and I let my team down. And the fact that he didn't say that, at least anywhere that I've seen, I wasn't able to go through all of the Vancouver stuff today, but I saw his post-game press conference last night, and that post-game press, him with all the reporters around him, he didn't say that, and I was so disappointed in him. All right, email time. And like I said before, in the next couple of days, of course, we're taping this on Wednesday night. Either Thursday or Friday, we'll be doing another show. I'm guessing it's going to be Thursday night. No promises. We'll have that up on the site in the next couple of days. Provided the website can stay up for longer than 24 hours. Been having some problems with that lately, Superstar?
Yeah, you have.
Don't want to talk about it. I am not not a happy camper right now, am I? No. All right, let's start with this one. I don't know who this is from. Barb. Do you think Chris Versteeg will settle down and become a 30-goal scorer for this team, or will the Hawks trade him elsewhere in the offseason and see him flourish in another uniform? I've always been a big fan. I understand why people criticize him, but I think that there's so much natural ability there that it's too tough to let get away. What do you think, Superstar?
I don't know. I would like to see him go bye-bye. That's my personal opinion. I don't doubt his talent, Mark, at all. I think he's a great talent. I think the issue with Chris Versteeg, we've talked about it before, is between his ears. It was nice to see him capitalize on somebody else's turnover opposed to somebody capitalizing on his turnover for a change. But he's got to get smarter if he's going to stay here, in my opinion. Talent is great. I need him to be a smarter hockey player.
For $3 million a year, he's got to be, he has to be trustworthy above the third line. It's great to have depth, but the Blackhawks will not have a $3 million third-line player next year. They just won't. And if you can't trust him right now, right out of the box, to play on that second scoring line or the first scoring line with what he does have, which is that kind of talent, then I don't know that you can move forward with him. I think you can. I mean, we're talking about Chris Versteeg. This isn't just, this is a guy who, in 2002, 2003, when he was with the Lethbridge Hurricanes, his coach was so, was so fed up with him. And the offensive, all the mistakes that you still see today, but even more so back then. I mean, can you imagine, I mean, how much experience this guy has, you know, have playing in the WHL and in the AHL and now the NHL, and he still makes boneheaded play after boneheaded play, and you know, tries to take everybody on one on one or one on three, one on four, icing the puck for no reason. I mean, it's not just one thing with this guy; it's so many things. And back in the day, his junior coach was so fed up with him that he made him a defenseman for half a season, just so he had, you know, he would see the game from a different perspective and learn defensive responsibilities and watch players in front of him and see, you know, like how the proper, you know, way to play a wing was. That's what he did with him. He always was going to put him back in the forward position because he knew how much talent the kid had. But, I mean, this isn't something that – I don't know that it's fixable. Something in his brain, something in his DNA makes him think that he can take teams on one-on-three, one-on-four. He's got good ideas, you know, like his thing about not really taking any slap shots, you know, because if you wind up for a slap shot, you know, the goaltender has more time to get set for it. That's most of the time, the majority of the time, that is correct. But he holds the puck too long at times. Last night it worked out for him because he got Luongo to bite. Luongo came out too far, and he got him to bite, and he waited him out, and he, you know. I mean, it worked out for him last night. Worked out for him 20 times this year, 22 times last year for the Blackhawks. But to me, I don't see any of these issues going away. Could he be a 30-goal scorer? Sure. But I see him a lot like I saw Radim Vrbata. You know, Versteeg's a better player than Radim Vrbata. You know, and Versteeg's only 23. He'll be 24 next year. But I don't know. It's risky because the decisions the Blackhawks make this summer are going to have a lasting effect. And if you trade Patrick Sharp over Chris Versteeg, I think you're making a huge mistake because Sharp can do so many more things. And he's more accountable defensively all over the ice. He can hit. He can fight if he has to. He can play center. He's a good center. He's a better wing, but he's a damn good center. The Blackhawks' second-line center now and probably will be going forward if they don't trade him. I don't know. I just don't see where Chris Versteeg fits, you know, with the salary cap problems that they're having. Now, if they weren't having these problems, you know, if they're able to trade Huey and Sopel and Bufflin and take on no salary in return, then you might be able to keep Chris Versteeg, maybe. You know, but they're not gonna have that luxury. It's just it's a pipe dream. So I don't think he stays. He might score 30 for somebody else, but I don't know. I just don't see it. I don't see where you can count on him to be reliable in every situation. He's going to constantly be a headache, and he needs to go. That's my opinion. Considering the circumstances, and again, if the circumstances were different, he has so much ability that maybe you'd wait another year or another half season, trade him at next year's deadline, but you don't have that luxury, so you got to make a decision on that now. All right, going back to last week, I didn't have time to answer this question. I'll answer it this week. Remember this question? Superstar, are you with us?
I'm with you. I don't know the question you're talking about until you read it, though.
Oh. Well, no, I read it on last week's show.
I don't remember 10 minutes ago, let alone last week's show.
Okay. I thought you listened to this show. I'm the one that doesn't listen.
I don't listen to the show. I thought you listened to the show.
Go back and listen to last week's show. We had this conversation last week. I don't listen during the show, and you do. All right, anyway. All right. Hey, Chris, caught a link to your site from one of the other Hawks blogs I check regularly. Interesting show. Well, thank you. That's one of the nicest things that's ever been said about this show.
Very true.
Heard you mention your site has been around for a long time. 4 years, I believe, is what you mentioned, and was wondering what made you decide to start a Hawks blog back when old man Wirtz was still alive and the team was so hard to follow, i.e. home games not on television, lack of coverage, etc. Well, first of all, I think one of the reasons why I started a site dedicated to the Blackhawks was, I mean, it was an idea that I had actually a few years before I even broke down and started it. I used to, in a former life, I used to write about professional wrestling. I even had a biweekly pro wrestling newsletter that about 75 people subscribed to very briefly, actually for about a couple of years. But, you know, I did that, and I followed that industry, and I wrote for, you know, other people's publications, other people's online sites, under a pseudonym in a pro wrestling magazine. But when all that kind of, you know, dwindled out because of, you know, other job responsibilities and the fact that I became increasingly disenchanted with the business over time and watching people I knew and a couple that I even called friends pass away, I decided that I wasn't going to do it anymore. And to fill that void, I decided to start up a Blackhawks website. One of the reasons why I did it was because the coverage in Chicago was so poor. As far as Hawks home games not being on television, it never bothered me because I was at all the games. I never stopped going to the games. You know, ever since I started, you know, I have memories. I've been at Blackhawks games. So the home games not being on television has never bothered me. The home games being on television actually sucks for me because it gives me a license to drink more at Hawks games and then watch the replay, slightly less drunk. But, that was really the reason. I thought that because of lack of interest and lack of space that the beat writers got in town, you know, Tim Sassone, whenever, you know, whoever, Brian Hanley or Len Zeem, you know, other guys that covered it, Casey Johnson, over the years, their editors didn't really give them a lot of space, it was basically game wraps and maybe a weekly column. If some, you know, major story happened, maybe something here or there, and then there are little tidbits at the bottom. And I thought, and from my perspective, that the team could be covered in so much more detail and deserved to. If you're a Blackhawk fan, the team deserved to be covered in such, you know, a Blackhawk fan, a dedicated Blackhawk fan, you know, at any sport. Like if you're a dedicated Cubs or Sox fan, you indulge yourself in everything that there is, White Sox, Cubs, Bulls, whatever, Bears. You know everything about the team, or you want to know everything about the team. You thirst for as much Chicago Bears as you could possibly get. The same thing, even to a, you know, certainly to a, I guess, more of an extent, just because Blackhawks fans for years and years and years have felt like they were on this little island and, you know, have to defend their love of hockey and that to other people, that they even want more of it. And I felt like I could fill that void in some way, to a certain extent, I guess. Unfortunately, those archives no longer exist because of my ill-fated move to blog you in. That was the reason why I started. So, the fact that the Blackhawks weren't popular or anything like that, I don't care. I've never wanted to be popular. I've never cared about hits or anything. None of that, you know, matters to me. What matters to me is doing something and doing something right that somebody out there, you know, certain, you know, whoever wants to enjoy it or take part in it can get something from that. You know, I don't care about anything. You know, that's one of the reasons why I left BlogUN, because I realized just how little making money off of it, even though it would be great, meant to me. And I just wanted to do something the way I wanted to do it and not have any of these outside pressures. So, that was why. And, you know, why isn't it like that now? Why am I not doing all that now? It's purely personal and work related. So, you know, and this show started up probably 2 years after I had the original idea. I have a lot of great ideas, but it takes me a while to execute them. And
you are a slow progressing individual.
But I mean, that's just the same thing with this show. I had an idea that I wanted to do it, but I had no idea how to do it. I didn't know that there was stuff like Blog Talk. I'm not very internet savvy. I can find anything you want on the internet, but as far as learning the ways I can use the internet, I'm very behind the times. But once I figured it out, obviously Hockey Night started up, 7, 8, 9 months before we did. And, that was one of the reasons why I didn't know that there was a talk shoe. Well, what the hell is talk shoe? I just always imagined that I was going to have to buy recording equipment, and which I still want to do, to give me more flexibility in what I can do. I have some equipment, but I don't think it's the quality that I want it to be. We do the show because it's the one way I can set aside a couple of hours every week and do enough preparation during the course of the week, and obviously spend all the time going to the games and catching the games and watching other games. It's like there's only so many hours in the day, so this was the one way that I could keep the site going and still be kind of, you always use the word relevant. I don't know that that's even a proper word, but as far as your question to the reader, why did I do it? I just wanted to do it. I felt like I had something to offer, and obviously it worked. And from what I've been told by other people, it inspired other people to start up themselves. And that's great. That's nice to hear. But the reality is, when the Blackhawks get good, there was always going to be more people. And the Blackhawks continue to be good. There's going to continue to be more people blogging, if that's what you want to call it, and having sites and sharing their thoughts and opinions. But will those people be around when the Blackhawks aren't good anymore, whenever that comes to be again, or they disappoint you a couple of times? I don't know. I doubt it. But in some form or another, I plan to be around for quite a while, as long as my professional and personal life will allow.
And Block, from knowing you for a long time, and knowing you from even before, this whole mess you've gotten yourself into, so to speak.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I can speak for you in saying that it has never for you been about being the biggest, being the best, being getting the most hits. You are more satisfied with yourself and the site and where you are with this. If just one person takes something out of it, I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and it's, kind of what I was saying before. It's just like, if you're doing this, if you're trying to go on the internet and make money or make a name for yourself, I suppose you can make a name for yourself if you really tried hard enough and if you were obsessed with that. But really, what does that get you, what does it mean? So you're a dork on the internet that proclaims to be, a great Blackhawk fan or a knowledgeable guy about the Blackhawks. What does it mean? I mean, to me, it's more about putting something forth that contributes and people find interesting or they get something out of it. And that's rewarding, but that's just how I think of it. Quickly, let's move on.
After we get off that love fest of you and your site, a shocking development, Mike Camilleri has scored, making it 3-0 Montreal with 16 minutes left to go in the second period.
Well, good, because we have on our hockey team tonight, we have a French-Canadian defenseman that we were worried he was going to show up if the game was close at the end. So at least we'll have him. We're playing the best team in the league tonight, so at least we have him. All right, I'm looking for – there's a question that's kind of along the same lines, and keeping with the theme. Here it is. This is from Paul. Meant to ask this question a while back, but since your site is active for the most part.
When did you get this email? 2008?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Inactive. So inactive for the most part.
Oh, okay. That's a little more recent.
Time for Block to change the contacts. But since your site is inactive for the most part, I didn't think it mattered. But the question is, why did you shut down the forums and blog post comments section? I was thinking this was a good way for you to interact with your readers and listeners and also a way to get feedback on your shows. Just wondering, Paul. He says a bunch of other stuff here, but I don't really think it's interesting. Why did I shut down the forums and the blog post comments? So, you know, here at Superstar, I was thinking about this actually. I got this question from Paul a couple of weeks ago, actually. And I remember thinking about it at the time. And I think the answer to this question is obvious. I don't want to hear from the people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to preface that by saying this, all right? I spend a good – the other day I blocked out 3 hours. I think it was just the other day. I blocked out 3 hours of my day to return emails, all right? And the people I haven't returned emails to are probably pretty depressed right now hearing that. But I try my best to interact with everybody that tries to interact with me. But here's the thing, okay? I don't think, by and large, I don't think the people should have a voice. I'm all about taking the voice away from the people. I look at these other sites and these other forums, and there's so much stupidity and so much frivolous bullshit that goes on. I don't find any entertainment value in it. I think it's a big waste of time. I look at these people that are on the message boards during like a game, and they're conversating with each other back and forth during a game. It's like, how do you watch a game? Like, how do you know anything about the Blackhawks if you're chit-chatting during a game? You know, you're typing and you're reading a message board and typing, or reading a comment board. You know, it's like Second City Hockey does that thing where they have a running commentary section for each period. And I've never asked Sam or Matt or McClure why they do it. I mean, it's a way to drive traffic to the site, and you know, I'm sure they're making a little bit of money off that extra traffic. But I mean, other than that, I don't see what the purpose is. These people aren't watching the game. You know, these people are supposedly Blackhawks enthusiasts. You know, that. You know more than everybody else because they're so dedicated fans, you know. It's like that other thing. It's like people go on message boards and they just, I mean, any random thought that comes to their mind just so they could have their post count real high and they can claim to be more intelligent than someone else that only has 2 or 3 posts. It's like, I don't need any of that aggravation. And the comment section, I mean, the reason why I took the comment section off of the blog posts, or, you know, if that's what we're calling them, was because there was a lot of silliness going on. There was spam, and people would ask me questions in those things. I never go to the website, people. I post on there, and then after I post, I click on it to make sure it's up there and it looks right, and that's it. I never go back. I know what's on my website. I don't need to go there, and I don't want to have to check it all day because I just don't want to. I don't. when it's active and when I'm able to update it all the time, which hopefully it would have been this past 2 weeks, it wouldn't have all these problems. Other than that, like I know what's on there. I spend a lot of time putting stuff on there. I don't need to spend any more time on there. So for people that are asking me questions in the comments section or looking for my response to something. You know, you're not going to get it because I'm never going to go there. You know, if you have a question for me, you want to interact with me, you email me. At what point did we lose that ability to communicate with each other? Just email me. Don't Twitter me a question because I don't check my Twitter. I hate Twitter.
You're a very direct contact type of guy, Block. If you want to talk to me, email me.
Email?
You got my number? Call me.
Don't call me because I'm probably not going to pick up the phone. But, yeah, email me, text me, or walk up to me and ask me a question. All these side ways of getting to me, Twitter. Don't Twitter me. Don't Facebook me. No, I don't go there. It's a waste of my time. If I have something to share, I'll share it on Twitter. But I don't want to interact with you on Twitter because I don't want to be on there any longer than I absolutely have to. It's annoying. Email me, and I will email you back. And I don't think people can be trusted. I've never seen a forum where it's remained civil and intelligent. I've never seen it. So that's the reason why I doubt that there'll ever be a forum on here. You know, I tried it, and I really didn't give it much of a try, but I tried it, and I saw problems almost immediately. And again, that was like another thing where people, you know, I've got to be in there. People want to communicate with me, and I'm not spending all day on a message board. I just can't do it. I can't justify it. All right, superstar.
All right. In case
I'm done being a Scrooge for today.
All right. In case you missed it, it's 4-0 Montreal. Marc Andre Fleury lifted and pulled from Game 7 in the Igloo.
So, like we talked about before, I think that's a good question now. The road has been paved for the Blackhawks. Is that road too nicely paved? Will everything backfire?
It's a very good question. I mean, you'd have to say, I think it was like this. Anyways, that the Stanley Cup champion was going to come out of the West. Now that the Penguins are out, who's arguably the most talented team in the East, and obviously they're not out yet. There's 10 minutes to go in the second. But they are down 4-0. So for all intents and purposes, they're done. And the U.S. is far superior as far as talent-wise than the East.
All right, Superstar, you sounds like you've got some things going on over there, and I got to get out of here anyway. I will say this. It would be terrific to see Blackhawks-Habs or Blackhawks-Bruins, but if the Hawks aren't going, how great would it be for San Jose and Boston to meet in the finals? It would be
That would be a great series.
All right, Superstar, I don't mean to cut you off, but I really, really do got to go. all right, so next couple of days, again, check the website, thethirdmanin.com or blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. A pleasure as always, Superstar.
All right, buddy, you have a good one. Keep swinging, and good luck tonight.
All right, thanks. And like I said, we'll be back in the next couple of days with a thorough preview of San Jose and the Blackhawks Western Conference Finals. Until then, good night, everybody.